Dick Cadwell, thanks so much for joining us today. We're out here in Custer State Park, a beautiful winter day. It's about 41 degrees after this severe cold snap of 20 below. This feels like just t-shirt weather.
Oh, this feels like July today.
and then we're looking at a nice herd of antelope bedded down here in the prairie right in front of us.
Yeah, this is one of the typical winter groups. It's a mixed gender group, both does, bucks, as well as last season's fawns, who are all probably anywhere from 3 to 4 months old now. They're completely weaned. They've become fully functional ruminants, as the expression goes. And this group out here is just kind of laying out and probably enjoying the first decent warm day anyway that we've had for about 10 days.
These guys really evolved for that kind of cold, though. I mean,
yes, they did. They actually, it's really they're kind of a native son of the prairies. We go back to the days of the Pleistocene, and during the Bering Land Bridge, there were several species of goats that migrated across there from Asia. I think about 12 or so. And over the millennia, these species either were eliminated or merged together until finally one species emerged. Not quite a goat anymore, but not like anything else on this planet. And as I say, the name, their Latin name, Antilocopra americana. And one of the interesting things about that is they are the only species in that phylum, Antilocopra americana. That's how unique they are. There's nothing else like the American, North American pronghorn anywhere else in the world. They are it. They're one of a kind, completely.
Wow. You know, when you look at them, they you really think of like the African savanna or a gazelle or something like that. I mean, that's what they really resemble, but they're not necessarily related?
No, they aren't, but that's how they got that original name, antelope, which actually is incorrect because they are not a true antelope. They're much more related to goats than anything else, not quite a goat either, as I had said before.
And we're looking at a couple of bucks here, just gorgeous animals. Yeah. And it's also snowed recently on the prairie, and so the prairie landscape is half snow and half grass. And I'm blown away how camouflaged these guys are. I mean, they're half white and half brown, and they look just like the prairie.
Right.
I mean,
they blend in very, very well with the prairie right now. And of course, this is how we see the prairie around here a good part of the time. It's not just a blanket white, maybe occasionally after a particularly heavy snowstorm, but it's like this most of the time, where there's a lot of white with brown sticking up here and there. And it's very, very similar to the tones of these pronghorns, so it really gives them quite an interesting method of camouflage in a completely open, wide open landscape.
Oh, yeah.
And they are, as a matter of fact, on North America, they are the only large mammal that has a broken pattern coat like we see on them. And one of the interesting things about a couple of our prairie mammals, really, not just the pronghorn, but the bison, they do a lot of things that are based entirely on the presence of predators that haven't been here since the late Pleistocene era. And of course, we know there were several large predators around at that time, like the short-faced bear, which was almost twice the size of the present-day grizzly. There was a wolf they called the dire wolf, which was a little larger than the present-day timber wolf. They think there was, in addition to the cougar, not just the cougar, but they think there was an American lion, which was similar in size, maybe even larger than the present-day African lion. And they believe that there was an American cheetah, which would have been similar in size and speed to the present-day African cheetah. And they actually think that the pronghorn of today are not quite as fast as the pronghorn of that time would have been, simply because they don't have that cheetah around anymore. So these guys don't need to be quite that fast anymore, even though they are still easily the fastest land animal on the North American continent. They've been clocked at speeds of well over 60 miles an hour. And one of the things, though, is really remarkable about their speed. It's not just that they can run that fast. It makes them actually second in speed to the African cheetah, which has been clocked at well over 70 miles an hour, close to 80, actually. But they can only maintain that during the first, 50 yards or so. If you could have an animal track meet, the cheetah would own the 50-yard dash, probably the 100-yard dash, too. But the pronghorn would be just completely dominant in the 880 or the 440. These guys have been clocked at speeds of 35 to 40 miles an hour, in which they maintained that speed over a distance of 7 to 8 miles. Think about that. Wow. 7 to 8 miles running at 35 miles an hour. The 26-mile marathon course that we always hear about in things like the New York City or Boston Marathon, the best human runners will need about 2 hours and 20 minutes around that time to complete. So let's just say a healthy adult doe could complete that 26-mile marathon course in about 45 minutes.
Besides being able to run really fast, these guys can see really well, too. They
see extremely well, see anything that's approaching them for miles. Their eyesight has been compared to a human having the perspective of that you have when you use a pair of 8x50 binoculars. They have these disproportionately large eyes that are actually, an adult pronghorn's eyes are almost the same size as an African elephant's, which are 2 inches in diameter. And the American pronghorn's eyes are almost that size. Nothing sneaks up on these guys at all. If you get within their presence, it's because for whatever reason, they've just decided to tolerate or put up with you. They could leave you. Of course, they can be in the next county before you can draw a deep breath with the way they take off. But yes, they have incredible eyesight.
I know there are, I assume, some mountain lions here in the Custer State Park. Do they prey on antelope very often? Or do the mountain lions go after easier targets?
Well, they would go after things that are a little bit easier for them to run down. I wouldn't be surprised if a cougar tries his luck every now and then, although they this is an animal that probably hasn't had much experience trying to hunt pronghorn for a few hundred years now, and probably never was very good at it. This animal is, I'm sure, again, its speed probably leads it away from mountain lions, and they probably never posed that great of a threat, I would say, even when they were more prevalent on the prairies.
What is the title of this current book?
Book is going to be entitled A Pronghorn Year, and it covers an entire year in the life of the North American pronghorn and all of the things that they do as the seasons change. It'll include a couple of stories, pictures about the coming of the fawns in the late spring and early summer, and then into the fall rut, the autumn rut, and what they do during winter, etc., like that, just through the entire year of a pronghorn's life. As I say, the native son of the High Plains, be it Canada or the United States, they're only here and nowhere else.
Well, Dick Kettlewell, I want to thank you so much for your time. Thanks for bringing me out here to this gorgeous section of Custer State Park and taking a look at some antelope.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.